I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience, a podcast where dads can connect and openly share stories. On this episode of The Dad Experience, Adam and Eric are back at it again on their second episode of the mini-series, The Video Game Parenting Theory. On this episode, Adam and Eric discuss different levels, regressions, single-player mode, as well as second kids being like sequels to video games. All this and much, much more. So join us, won't you, on this amazing journey that we call...
The Dad Experience.
Welcome again to The Dad Experience. Really excited we have started doing kind of a mini-series here with Eric Silvera. And we have Eric again here today. We're continuing on with The Video Game Parenting Theory, the sequel. So we're going to call this one the sequel. So Eric, how's it going, man?
What's going on? Thank you for having me back. Number two, we're doing it.
Number two. We said we'd do it, and we're bringing it back. Right. It's like
all kinds of number two in this piece. I'm not even going to get into the poop joke there. Yeah. Right.
Hot shot part two. Wasn't
that? Part two. That's first of all, I know this is the dad experience, but I love part. That is a very good sequel, just for the record. Anyway, we don't have to get into that now, but yeah, we'll save that for the other day.
No, but you know, part two. And then you were just talking about part two having the poop reference, because we're all about the poop reference. For some reason, whenever you come on, we talk about poop.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I bring that out in a lot of people. I go to weddings, and men will be saying, like, by the end of a wedding, my wife was always like, she goes, men just really, they really love you. They come up to me, and they're just like, poop, and they're like making all, they're like, I've had men that are married come up to my wife and be like, I'm going to have sex with your husband later tonight. And it's like, what? Like, I just bring out these weird things to people. So, yeah, what can I tell you?
Well, you know, it made me think. I was just reading to my daughter, I don't know, Zoo Poo or something. It's a potty training book that I think we got at our zoo here in Detroit. And it's, we're trying
interesting.
To, you know, like, yeah. So I actually thought about you when I was reading it. I'm like, you know, I think Miles would like this book.
He would. You know what he told me tonight as I was putting him to bed? He said to me, Dad, you're an old man, but. And I said, okay, all right. Got it. That's cool.
So No, you're good. You're good. So we had a good response. We had a good response from the last one from our Video Game Parenting Theory Part 1. We even had some banter and interaction back and forth with some folks on Instagram. It seems like people are really relating to this. So, you know, you want to kind of fill our listeners in, maybe folks that, you know, first of all, if you are listening to this one and you haven't listened to Part 1, or part uno, whatever you want to call it, go on back and listen to that one. Stop right here, because you don't want to get any spoilers, because we're going to kind of sum up our last episode. So Eric, tell us a little bit about, you know, your idea here and how you and I kind of came to fruition on the video game parenting theory.
Sure, absolutely. So the basic idea is that parenting is like different levels of a video game. So, you know, you're going along, you're doing certain things, you seem to master something, you know, specific about your baby or your child, your toddler, whatever it is. And then once you get that down, there's something else that comes up, and that's the next level. And basically, it's this level after level, you're moving on up, but every now and then there's a regression, and you wind up moving back a level. But because you know what you're doing, you can figure it out really quickly and know how to solve that dilemma and that problem. And then you get back up to the new problem or the new issue or the new... you know, milestone in your child's life, and you adapt and you move along with that. And so that was the basic idea of parenting is like a video game. But as I started thinking about it more, and Adam and I started talking about it more, we realized it can really expand beyond just the idea of levels. There's cheat codes and there's single player, which is, you know, like if it's just you alone with the kid, there's two player when it's both parents working together. There's the regressions, like I said, being sent back a level. So there's so many different things that are going on. We just figured we would run this analogy into the ground and kind of go with it all the way into all the different elements of a video game.
Right. So a couple of things come to mind when you bring that up. First of all, my question is this: are we running like old school, like Nintendo, where you can't save your game, or when you go back, or are we allowed to save our game and do we continue moving forward? What do you think?
I think we got to save our game. You know, I mean, my video game knowledge like ends in like 2005 for the most part, when I graduated college. But I think we can like do like Nintendo elements and then like modern day save the game and move forward.
Right, right, right. So my other question is this. Where do you classify this one? So quick story here. My wife was, I'm back at work right now doing some summer camp music stuff with my students for marching band. And so I was gone today and this started last week and now we're in our second week. Obviously the listeners, I think most of them know that I'm a teacher. And my wife was home and my brother and sister-in-law are moving back. They have, I have two nieces, my brother has two daughters and they came back and they're closing on their new house here. And my wife texts me, she's like, get home when you can, because it's just me with my, 3-month-old daughter at home, my almost 2-year-old daughter. And then my two nieces who are 3. And I believe the other one is 4.
Oh, wow.
4. That's so my right wife there. With 4 yeah. of them. And I was like, oh man, I don't know how I'd be bald by the end of that day. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I really
think I would. So where do we put that one on the video game? It's like, what is it? Golden gun? When you have just the gun and it's like one shot and you're done.
Yeah. Golden eye. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I think, that one, you know, that's like, that's basically like you're playing a multiplayer game. I'm going to be very modern. I'm going to tell you, you're playing Halo or something. And, you know, for all you gamers out there, forgive me if this is not exactly how it goes, but
I have no clue. So you're going to pull the wool over my eyes.
All right, cool. You're playing Halo, right? And you're in your basement, you're in your bedroom. It's just you. And you're rocking it and you think you got this. And then these other people join the game too. And there's 5 of you, right? And you think you're going to do it together and it's going to be great. And then all 4 of them turn on you and start shooting you and beating you up. That's basically what your wife is dealing with today in this version of the game. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, if I can relate, cause I think I'm even earlier than you. My last relation to is a little bit of Xbox. I had an Xbox, but I didn't play it a ton. It was more for when I had early Netflix, believe it or not. But I relate it more to Golden Eye and with the Golden Gun, because you always had that one dude that had every map memorized. So it was early multiplayer gaming, right? And
you knew exactly where
to go get that gun, and you were done every time. You turn a corner, you're done. I could never memorize those maps. I was always screwed. So I think that's it. It's you never know what's going to happen, and you've always got that one that's going to just dupe you every time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's basically, I mean, you're really... I don't really know how you do. I could do it if I had to, if I had to deal with my kids and my niece and nephew, I could be fine. But I know that at some point I'd be like, I can't take this anymore.
No, I agree. So this is our sequel to part one, right? And, we're going to talk a little bit about how second kids are the sequel to the game. How can we kind of what do you think that relates to? How can we relate that to the sequel? We're going from Mario 1 to Mario 2 here.
Right, right. So the way I think of second is like you said, sequels. I think here's the thing, when you have your second kid, you know what you're doing when the baby comes home from the hospital. You know what you're doing at the start. It's kind of the same thing as a sequel, right? The game starts out, you kind of know the characters, you know the deal. And so it probably seems a little easy at first. And the things that were maybe scary or tough in that first game, all right? And with your first kid, you can work through that, right? You kind of got this, all right, I got this. This is fine. And you're pretty easygoing about the whole kind of thing. There's the whole challenge of having another kid, but that's not going to work for this analogy. So we won't deal with that part right then, just now. But then the game progresses and the baby starts to get older, and they're not exactly like your first child. And those are the new twists and the new turns that you need to master and figure out. And then all of a sudden you're worried about spending too much time with the second game and you're neglecting the first game. And then you go back and play the first one, but then you're worried about neglecting the second game. And then all of a sudden you're feeling guilty and worried that you're doing a shitty job playing both games and that you're never going to master each child and each game and everything's never going to progress forward. And it's a whole kind of conundrum right there of what you got to do and what you got to deal with. And they all kind of blends together in that analogy, doesn't it?
Yeah, but so when you're looking at it, we talked a little bit here about going from 1 to 2, you've got some, like you said, you got similarities, but now do you think it gets harder when you're raising that second one or the first one? Because if we're looking at video games, a lot of times that video game ups the ante every time, right? It's a similar idea, it's your similar format. So is it getting harder or is it getting easier? I mean, what do you think?
I think... what gets harder is that you have two all of a sudden. You know what I mean? I think that's right. Like, and that's the reality. Like, that's the upping of the ante in this scenario, is that, you know, there's no longer just one kid running around. There's one kid running around, then a baby crying that you have to feed. And like all those elements you get, like, I remember coming home. I remember I had a coworker that said to me last year, and I worked with her, we worked at two different companies together. And, you know, she saw me when I was her boss when, I had my first child, and then we went to a different company with different sides of the advertising business that we work in. And, we were counterparts. And she said, and she goes, you're just so much more laid back with this second one. She's like, you just seem so much calmer and you don't seem tired the way you did and all this stuff. And I was like, well, I'm exhausted. I'm more exhausted, but I can just kind of handle it better because I know what I'm doing. So I think like all that is you really have a good grasp of what's going on with that second child. You know, you really do feel like, okay, like I know how to change a diaper. I know how to sleep train. I know how to do all the elements to keep the baby alive because I've done it. But it's the ante's up because now you're dealing with both of them. And then, you know, in the scenario of when it was my son and my daughter, right when, you know, we moved when my daughter was 6 weeks old and my son was like, you know, 2 years, 9 months, something like that. And so we got adjusted pretty quickly into the new apartment and everything and like kind of a routine here. And all of a sudden my son was still in the crib at that point. And then 2 years and 10 months, he jumped out of the crib and never went back in. And that was in July. And all of a sudden his brain waves were starting to be like, oh, I'm about to be 3 years old. And his like whole chemistry was changing. So all of a sudden we went from like getting our daughter down, not sleeping with her, getting her down to sleep, to my son not sleeping and like running around the apartment until 10, 11 o'clock at night, constantly like trying to get him in bed. And so you're just like, oh my God, like I don't know how to deal with like this element now with like a baby, one baby screaming and one child running around. And that's where the ante is up. And you're just like, how do I figure this out? How do I navigate it? And you just kind of hang on for dear life. And I'll tell you, we made some mistakes. That's for sure.
No,
we made a lot of them.
I think parenting is all about making mistakes, man. I think it's like falling down that, I keep referring to this analogy, but it's like falling down that endless black hole or whatever it is. And Mario, and it's just kind of like, well, I guess we're going to figure it out next time. You know, it's kind of like restart again. Go back to the beginning of that level and restart again.
It's the restart.
Man,
it's the
restart for sure. We had a similar situation with our daughter and kind of getting out of her crib. She got out of her crib. We had to convert her crib. She'll be two in October.
She's out really young. She was out then.
She hopped over. Like my wife physically, we were watching on the baby camera. She's like, just hopped right over that thing. And I'm like, oh man, we're done for. So we had to put the baby toddler bed together. I mean, we have a colonial where we live, so we have an upstairs, and it's like, oh man, she can't get out of that room because she's still too young to too small
coming down the stairs. Of course,
like,
yeah.
Man, oh, it's terrifying. So like we actually had to like put like a baby lock on the outside so that she's like kind of stuck in there because it's been and the worst, I don't know if you guys ran into this, but the worst for us is like we have like an inch or like a half of an inch between the floor to the door. And the first few, like the first week, she's just crying and sobbing so much that the floor was like wet and just like, oh, it was like trying to defeat Bowser every night,
oh,
man. It was like, and she was Bowser. I'll tell you that, man. She was not a happy kid. It was like, and it's gotta be terrifying though, going from this like safe, secure thing. And you know, but we got wise. Like you said, you learn. It's like, it's just like in a video game, you know, like you fall down that hole the first time. It's like, okay, next time I'm going to try doing it this way. So it's like we upped it every time. It was like the first time I was like, okay, we gotta get the baby lock and, you know, just kind of like not ignore her, but like let her know that we're there, but not like always just go back into the room.
Yeah.
Or the next.
Did she tear apart the room?
Not really bad. Like first couple nights she ended up falling asleep in her like kind of recliner reading chair that we have where we read books with her in. But then the next time I was like, my wife's like, we've got to go and get one of those like side baby rails, to like kind of the guard thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That goes on the edge of the bed. And then like we did that. And then after that, it was like, oh, it was like almost smooth sailing. So it's like you said, it's like you learn and it's like you make these mistakes and it's like you try again, which is why I think this idea of the video game parenting theory can be so relatable, especially to, you know, to folks now. Because it is. It's like, okay, that didn't work. So what way can we be very critical and think critically about this problem and try and figure out how to fix it. So, you know, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, that was probably one of the hardest things, was trying to get her, you know, sleep training for her because of her heart condition was a lot easier. She slept through the night quick, but this was like, and I didn't think, like, it's like, you sleep in a bed. Okay. Not, you know, she's like, no, it's not.
It's like a whole new round of sleep training. It's a whole new level of it.
It is. And now they're more cognitively aware. So like, to them, it almost felt like I wonder if she felt like we were abandoning her. It's like, here's your big bed, and now we're done. You don't have the security of this, like, this place where you know that nothing can happen, and it's, you know, it's just crazy. Now the room probably seems much bigger. I mean, think about it. You're in this crib that's in this, like, room within a room, right?
Totally.
And then all of a sudden we open the side up, and it's like, wow, there's the world to that. And it's like, whoa, what can I get into, or when are they coming back? Are they coming back?
Right. Well, for our son, he was like, jumped out of the crib, and he basically was like, he jumped out of the crib and then was in a room that he wasn't even familiar with, because he'd only been there for maybe a month and a half when he started doing that, 2 months, you know, and he's like, wait, what is this room? And then we moved his sister into the room with him. So that was like a whole other element. He was like, wait, I'm supposed to sleep in this bed. This is a new bedroom. And now this girl's in here with me, who I, like, only know for a little bit. And there's another room. Why isn't she sleeping in that one instead? But it's wild.
Right.
It's really wild.
That is crazy. Well, as a reminder, we are a part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can catch our podcast along with many other parenting podcasts on the Parents On Demand Network app. You can get that app at the iTunes Store, the Apple iTunes Store, and Google Play. And then stick around for the end of the show. You can hear a snippet of another great parenting podcast that, if you like The Dad Experience, I'm sure you'll like. We're going to take a short break here, but we're going to continue after the break a little bit here with Eric on the Video Game Parenting Theory Part 2. Welcome back to The Dad Experience and the Video Game Parenting Part 2. We're here with Eric Silvera. Eric, another dad and comedian and writer and just all around good guy. You've heard him a couple times on the show. And again, I don't know how you'd get this far, but if you're this far, you're scanning through and you're liking this episode, jump back to the first part of the Video Game Parenting Theory, because we've got a lot more there. And Mike joined us on that one, so it's a pretty fun episode. But, you know, Eric, I have another question for you, and maybe you can relate it. So, you know, I'm not as familiar with this. You know, for me, it's like getting the kid in the car seat and, like, maneuvering that through the level. So, like, it's almost like the underwater world. So you got to figure out how to get the kid into the car, and then you got to drive safe, and then you got to get from point A to point B, and you got to get there on time. So you got to keep their shoes on and all that good stuff. How does that relate to a city life? Like, I mean, I live outside of the city, but I don't live where I'm using public transportation every day, or I'm, you know what I mean? How does that work for you guys?
You know, it's funny. We've had both experiences, because we have a car, which is really nice. And I'll tell you what, it is, after you deal with, like, the trains and the buses and all that stuff, having a car, like, you were just saying, like, man, I'll take, drop my son and daughter into their car seat any day. But, you know, when you've got when you're doing it in city life, it's like, you're basically like, okay, like, all right, I've got to make sure I have everything packed into my stroller right now. And your stroller becomes your car. And so you're just dumping all kinds of stuff into there. And then you're like, all right, oh, wait, it's not even like, honestly, it's not even like a video. It becomes like an action movie. It's almost like what I would be like. It's like you're like, okay, like, especially like the first time you do it, you're just like, you're like white knuckle gripping the top of like the stroller, and you're pushing it, and you're like, okay, here we go. And there's like people walking by you, and they're rushing, you know, if it's like, say it's like during rush hour, so you're going to, you have to go to the doctor for some, you know, and for your baby, and you know, your people are rushing by you because it's rush hour, and they're pissed off because it's morning, because they have to go to work, and they're annoyed that you're going there. You get to the top, in our case, when we live right by the way, we used to take the train more with our kids. You know, our train was like, was a below ground, and now we're up by a train that's an above ground, which is like a whole other experience. but you know, the below ground, you get to the top, you're at the top of the stairs, and you're like, oh shit, all right, how am I going to do this? You look down, you got to let everybody pass by you. Then if you're by yourself, you got like, how do I figure out how to hold this giant stroller and get down the stairs? But if you're with your partner, then they just grab it. And, you know, you guys can take it down together. And then when you get down the stairs and you get to the train, you're like, oh, right, there's the turnstiles. Okay, does this train station have an emergency door that I can open up? or do we have to try to figure out how to get them through the turnstiles and all this? Oh, there's an emergency door. You get them through the emergency door. So one, like, parent swipes. They swipe. They get through the turnstile. They open the emergency door for you, and you're like, all right, good. Here we go. Oh, wait, there's another flight of stairs. There's two more flights of stairs I got to go down. You got to get down the flight of stairs again. And now, like, people are, as you're going down the stairs, a train came. So everybody's walking up, and they're walking past you as you're going down. And then now they're pissed off because you're in their way as they're trying to get out of the train station to get to work or wherever they have to go. And then you get down there. You just miss the train. And then there's, like, a homeless person peeing in, like, a corner, like, you know, like, 15, 20 feet away from you, and you're like, oh, this is completely insane. I've got to, is this homeless person going to come over? Are they going to pee? Is the pee going to start to, like, leak down towards, like, the stroller and to my kid? And so it's just like, that's just literally the first 10 minutes. You know what I mean?
That's like, that seems like an hour to me, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. Then, like, from there, then you're waiting, you get in the train. Once you get on the train, if it's not crowded, you basically, what you just, you find a spot, like, against a door or, like, a corner, and you're fine. But if it's packed, then, like, that's a whole other element. And then you're like, is the baby going to scream? Is it a toddler? And the toddler doesn't want to sit in the carriage. They want to walk around. Like, do they want to, like, you know, like, I, one time Miles, my son, he literally was like, really, he like refused to be in the, in his carriage, in his stroller. And it was like, he had missed his nap time. And when it was just the three of us, we took him everywhere. Like, we go to bars in the afternoon, we'd have drinks, he'd be a baby, he'd be like the baby at the bar, like, it was fine, like, it was, but, you know, like, he was just kind of used to just the kind of the city life. But he, you know, so he was pretty good in the stroller, but one day he wasn't, refused to be in the stroller, and he, you know, he's like throwing a fit, so we let him sit in our lap, and then he wanted to do something, we said no, he flips out, he's flipping, and he would always do this thing where he would fling his head back. Like, my daughter doesn't do that, my son always does that. He flung his head back and flung his head into the metal bars next to the subway. And I'm telling you, it sounded like he cracked his head open. The entire train, it was packed on a Saturday, it was jammed up. The entire train stopped and stared. And then he just screamed, ah!
Oh, no.
And we're checking if his head is bleeding. And he's screaming a whole train stop, ah! And nobody's making a sound. And then the train stops and we just, like, get off. We get the car, we push our way out and get off. And we're just like, that was completely insane. So I don't know if that was like, that's like an action movie. It's not like a video game there, you know, and you're just like tense the whole time.
You know, there's a couple things I'm thinking of. First of all, we're taking my daughters to see their my grandma and family overseas here soon. And we got the airplane with the toddler and the baby. It will be very, very interesting. Thank God. We're going to have three parents or three adults to two children on the way there. And we're going to have four adults to two children on the way back. So
you'll be good. You'll be okay.
Five adults to two children on the way back. So we'll be good. We'll be good. I'm just, you know, I'm more worried about the people around us. Like, I'm hoping that there's just parents around us that are, like, understanding us, like, rather than, like, a single dude that's just going to, like, visit and have a good time out and backpack through Europe that's just not going to get it. But,
you know, most people are pretty good. I feel like most people in the planes with the kids, they're pretty good. They really are. There's, like, you get those a-holes every now and then, but they really are, like, they can kind of, like, people are, like, if especially if the kids are cute and they're not, like, they're like, oh, this is, like, this is nice, you know, like, for the most part.
Yeah, I'm hoping. We'll have to do a whole episode on that, traveling with the kids. I'll try and document. I'll be documenting a little bit of that as we're gone. But man, I'm a little terrified of it. I'm excited to go and excited for them to get that experience, but I'm terrified of the plane right there and back.
You get the iPad for for your daughter. And you know, well, because your youngest daughter, honestly, how old is she? She'll be like 4 months when you fly.
Yeah.
She might sleep well. You get a bottle or feed.
And it's a nighttime flight for us. So we're going to, like, take them in their clothes. But then when we get, like, right before we get on the airplane, I think we're going to change them into their pajamas to kind of get them in that night, in that mindset, hopefully. But also we've got that for the younger one. We've got the bassinet, you know, there's that little secret that I don't know if everybody knows about. A lot of people do now, but not everybody knows about it. I think I read it somewhere and you can actually get in touch with the airline and you can let them know. And if they're small enough, they have a bassinet that hangs on the bulkhead wall and they can sleep in that.
Incredible.
So we've got that too. So that's pretty cool. But you know, we'll have to have a chit chat about that one and see how that one goes when I'm,
I guess you one trick that, I don't know if it's a trick or whatever. I mean, I'm sure probably people do it all the time. I'm sure. I feel like they always say with babies, they're always like with kids, like, you know, you board first, But what we found is that we actually stay, like, we board last. We're like the last ones on when we fly with our kids. We haven't flown with both kids, but when we would fly with Miles, we would let him run around, run up and down the terminal while everyone was, like, freaking out to get on. We would get on as, like, probably the last or the second to last people on the plane. And then by the time you got on, he was tired, and, like, there was not that much time to wait anymore. And so we, because we were flying with kids, we'd always check all our bags. So we didn't worry about the carry-on space. And that was, like, the biggest hack that we could find. We're like, oh, like, they're trying to tell you to get on first. But really, if you wait longer, there's less time on the plane where the baby's waiting to take off. And so you just get on, you take off, and you've, like, just killed, you know, 20, 25 minutes where you would have been sitting there trying to keep the baby calm.
Right. That's a good idea.
That's been a good move in the past.
Right. And before we close here, I got one more thing. So you were talking about carrying the baby carriage or the baby, you know, the stroller up and down those stairs and the subways and whatnot. Why? And maybe they have, and I just don't know about this. And if somebody does this, they better send us one at the Dad Experience if one hasn't been invented yet. Why aren't they making a stroller that has, like, a back couple wheels or something like a dolly or something that when you're going down the stairs, it kind of, you can flip that out and it kind of just stabilizes it down the stairs. So you can just go down the stairs with it. Like, to me, that would make sense. I don't know. Maybe that's a safety hazard. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking crazy.
I don't know.
But you know what I'm talking about? Like, something that would just, like, roll down the, not like let it go roll down the stairs, but something that would, like, open up. So it, like, has that extra set of wheels that'll just, like, roll down the front of each step. So you don't have to worry about, like, trying to carry it all by yourself downstairs or something.
Are you only engineers? You might be able to patent it. It might be your thing, you know?
No, who knows? I don't know. It's probably a bad idea. I mean, it's probably got some sort of safety thing that I'm not thinking about. But, and, you know, I don't experience it every day. But, you know, if somebody does invent that, takes that idea, you know, maybe they'll at least send me a stroller before my kids are too old to ride in one. Or maybe they'll make one big enough for me to ride in and my kids can push me when I'm old and retired. I don't know.
That'd be awesome.
So, you know, Eric, we're gonna close here because we got lots more to talk about. But I, you know,
totally.
it's just a teaser. We're trying to keep this going. Maybe we'll end up being like the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
I got more gaming stuff. Don't worry. I'll keep working this analogy until it's broken. Don't worry. People are like, they're writing you, it's like, tell this fucking guy to stop with the video game. Get it already.
I don't think it's gonna happen. I think people are digging it. But, you know, Eric, you know, as always, tell the folks where they can find your stuff and tell them about all the great things you're doing.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Eric Reggie, ericreggie. Post silly videos on there. Post kid stuff, non-kid stuff, and then hopefully in the next year, I've been working on a movie for a few years now. We're towards the end of post-production. So hopefully in 2019, you guys will be able to see that soon. But we'll talk more about that when the time comes.
That sounds good. Well, thanks so much, Eric. And we're going to be sure to air some more of these and continue on with our mini-series. And thanks to all of our listeners. And as always, you can find us at The Dad Experience on Instagram. You can find us at Daddy XP Podcast. Email us experienceanddad@gmail.com. If you have a question for Eric, or one of our former guests, or myself, or Mike, or if you have a show idea, or if you want to be on the show. So hit us up, let us know. It's the listeners that really help us keep this show going and continue creating new episodes and new content for everybody out there. So thanks so much for listening. And until next time, thanks for listening to The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.